recording, and it appears to be moving. All right, now, barring further catastrophe, this is once again Matt, and it is no longer Halloween night, it is the night after Halloween, and I am not wearing a narwhal onesie, I am dressed in my Twin Cities Horror Festival swag, and I'm here with...
Duck Washington.
Who is the, I guess, writer, director, producer, you're everything except the star of...
Intuition and the Mantis...
And that is performing at the Twin Cities Horror Festival here. Duck, and again, because we will put this up early enough that people can still come see the show.
Sure.
Tell people about your show in a way that is as spoilery or not spoilery as you'd like.
Yeah, so I'll be a little vague. The show is about a very ambitious scientist named Dana who... has figured out a way to receive messages from her own self in the future. And as she does so, she starts to analyze and use science to try to verify the fact that she's actually receiving messages from herself from the future, and gets kind of impulses and intuition that kind of tell her things to do. And then she decides that she needs to invite her brother, her distant brother, who is a politician in Michigan, to come and experience this mayhap on his own. And while this all happens, there are dark things that lurk in the shadows to observe.
It's as though often during something horror related, things go awry.
Correct.
And I would say this play is no exception. Full disclosure, I am in this play.
That is true.
In a small role, but one I thoroughly enjoy and have really reveled in. I won't go into any more detail than that until afterwards. Once this is all over, I'll talk about my experience during this on our podcast. But it's a hoot. So for you, Duck, now, as far as I know, right, this is your first, like, true start-to-finish horror offering for stage.
That is mostly true.
I guess, well, no, yeah. Having seen Caucasian Aggressive Pandas and other Mulatto Tales... Depending on how you look at it, like, there are much more horrific things than that, but those are real life horrific.
Yeah.
And honestly, that gets addressed here too. So, but
I think, there's a show that has regularly popped up in the Fringe Festival called Fringe Orphans.
Oh, sure.
That has like a lot of smaller pieces. And in one year for that, I wrote and directed a piece, that I would call more Twilight Zone-esque, which wasn't an hour-long piece. It was like a 10-minute piece, that was about, two girls who end up in a section of woods where, physics don't really work really well. So, if you throw a ball off one side of the stage, it re-enters on the other side of the stage.
Oh, fun.
And so then they start to have this really fun game about, like, oh, if we send something this way, it comes back over here. And that show was in the round, so it was coming from all over the place.
Fun.
And then they start to have an existential crisis of what happens if we go? Do we come out on the other side? Can we ever leave?
There's a short film you need to see if you haven't already. We'll talk about it off mic.
Okay.
But that's awesome, because that's a great question.
So that's kind of the closest thing I've written that could possibly be tied to being a horror genre that's been on stage.
Well, then the question that leads to, which is, because this is not your first, but I know you as a comedian, although you do drama, obviously, and you did a lot of things. Actually, you're one of the people that, like many of the producers here, you wear a lot of hats. But this is your first time producing for the Twin Cities Horror Fest.
Correct.
What made you want to produce live horror on stage, which, as I've, this is the question I ask everybody, which is, that's a rare thing. People don't do a lot of live horror theater. They, you know, people think of film for that. Why this?
Well, I think I saw my first Horror Fest show 2 years ago, so in the fourth year of the Horror Fest. And I just remembered being really excited that theater was being used to tell a different kind of story than I had really been used to experiencing recently. I flashed back to some shows that toured through my high school that were all about Sleepy Hollow and...
You had a way cooler high school.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
they had some, like, the Monkey's Paw. Like, they did, like,
what?
Stage versions of that in our high school. And I was like, this is great! And then, like after that, like, horror theater was kind of forgotten. No, it was a touring group that came and performed at our school every year.
That is infinitely cool.
And then they would get the drama department to be like, help us set up! So we would go, we would set up the show all day, and then we would watch it in the... in the evening.
Okay.
And we did that every, but that, like, kind of got me the bug. And then, like, I saw a show last year. I won't name the show, but sure. I remember seeing it and going, I bet I can make something like that. I bet I can make something a little bit better than that. Maybe. Yeah. I want to try.
That's a good motivator often. Yeah. Which I should point out, like, that's the thing that, as someone who, and what I generally do for the Twin Cities Horror Festival is I'm part of Horror Show Hot Dog. Horror Show Hot Dog puts on, like, a short film festival where you basically are presenting other people's art. The closest we have to worry about for our egos is we think these are good. And if you disagree, then, well, you think what we like is dumb. But we're not actually risking our blood, sweat, and tears because mm-hmm. we didn't make the shorts, at least not yet. And so, but one of the things you learn is when watching things, you go, okay, I see this element I would like to take from this show. I see this element I would take. Ooh, holy crap, I never would have thought of trying that. Or the idea that you could enter from this part of the house is amazing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even a show that doesn't speak to you is super educational.
Absolutely.
As a producer.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the things I've started to learn that, I've been taking it over the last few years. And so I make sure I see everything. Usually I try to see it at least twice. So given that you've now watched some of these, you had the idea of, like, what if I try that? Was there any unique challenge for you doing a horror show compared to anything else you've done in the past? Is that different or is it not?
Maybe not. One of the things that was really great, I do audio design, and I did the audio design for this show, and being able to link into the horror genre for that was so freeing. It's like, oh, because there's so many ways. Because, like to me, audio design is all about psychoacoustics and using audio to kind of create mood, tone, and environment.
It's huge.
And I think it's more important for the horror genre than any other genre of theater or film that I've ever come across. Mm-hmm. And so being able to be like, I have so many toys to be able to play with was just great. I knew going into the festival, like I would think about things like, I'm like, all right, Dangerous Productions is in this festival. Mm-hmm. Dangerous Productions brings the gore, and they're going to do the blood and the, you know, like all the like shock
did.
And awe things. Like they always do.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah. So I was like, my goal needs to not to be able to scare people in a different way than that. Because I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that in the way that they're going to be able to.
Interesting. Okay.
And so when we got into things that brought pain or torture or it was all blood free, just because I wanted to try different tactics so that we were differentiated against
it's interesting that was actually
the other,
like,
shows in the festival.
That was a factor then in your writing.
It was.
Which is that's to me now very interesting because that's as someone that is like, oh, I like doing things and might do something in the future. Like, it's interesting to know that can be an influence. The final question I'll mm-hmm. ask, which I've asked everybody again, and I'm going to give you the same caveat, which is, I do have to
note that in my peripheral version during this interview, there's this weird spirit,
yeah,
like hologram floating around.
One of the sponsors of the festival this year is it Megan, you might remember, is it Atmosphere Effects?
Atmosphere. Yeah.
That have sent us stuff. And so in the front window of the theater, if you are coming to the festival, is something fucking terrifying at all times that looks a little too normal that it makes people pause.
Yeah.
And so one of my jobs is get here and set things up, and I turn this on, and I think Megan from Horseshoe Hot Dog just walked in, but we've done this where we're setting up but the lights are off in here so no one can tell that we're in here with the projectors going, and I've watched pedestrians do exactly what we were hoping would happen, which is walk by and go and do like the Scooby-Doo, like, yeah. And then a couple of them have done the whole, like, reach out and touch the glass, which to me is like, we've won. We've won. Our sponsor's rad. Like, you know, and, like, it just, it works. But yes, totally straight.
Yeah, I was totally like started this interview and was like, what the fuck is happening to the right of me?
Am I safe? Yeah. Do I need an adult? Yeah. But no, the final question, which again, I don't want to make too broad because when you say, what's your favorite, blah, and you put someone on the spot, that's unfair. But, what I'm asking everyone, apparently, is to not die and get hauled away in that ambulance, is what is something horror genre, horror related, that you think people should check out, film, book, you know, creepypasta, TV show, whatever, Doesn't have to be your favorite thing of all time. Could be a thing from your childhood. Could be a thing current. But just what's a thing that you're like, hey, you like horror? You should check this out.
Man, that's a good question. I'm a huge Lovecraft studier. But I think that's too easy. So, I want to point people towards the film Jacob's Ladder. If you haven't seen Jacob's Ladder, I highly recommend the movie Jacob's Ladder. To me, that's a movie that I watch over and over again and really? Always just like, I'm just like, like, what's going on in this movie? I feel like it's ambiguous and scary and at the same time, manages to be social, talk on social mm-hmm. aspects and like, it sums itself up in a really great way and, it's probably my favorite
that one. That is like way out of left field for what I have heard so far, because Lovecraft I've gotten once or twice not doing these. So last, and then because you touched on, and because it keeps coming up both in the conversations I've had with other producers, as well as the media surrounding mm-hmm. the Twin Cities Horror Festival this year, is that everyone seems to kind of go, oh, there's a lot of social commentary happening, which, as a horror fan, I go, well, duh, that's what horror exists for. Now, your show, not overtly, social commentary, which, and I talked to Tyler Olson, and he goes, oh yeah, we decided it's time to be overt and just mm-hmm. be social commentary. But I would say your show has it involved.
It is involved.
Why and how, and is that important more now than ever, or is it just that's part of something you incorporate at all times?
I think it's something that's a little bit more conscious to the forefront of my work these days. A lot of that probably stems from my extensive, like, performing with Blackout Improv. People mm-hmm. are always asking me to talk about social justice issues. And then my show Caucasian Aggressive Pandas and Other Mulatto Tales was all about my experiences with race. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's this, that's the voice that is generally wanting to come out, most of the time. I like to stray from that, for a lot of things so that I have, like, some diversity in the art that I'm trying to express. But, like, in the course of writing the show, it wasn't initially about that, but the thought of that entered my head in relation to these characters that mm-hmm. Grow up in an area that is that can be a little bit troubling. And I wanted to be honest and explore that a little bit and give them the grounds to be like, oh. Also, it gave me a great dynamic to give characters some flux in who you might be rooting for. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I don't want to root for that guy anymore. Maybe I want to root for that person that I was rooting against a little while ago, now that I know how they think about a specific issue.
Yeah. Alright, we should wrap up, because I don't want to waste too much of your time.
Sure.
But, people have at least one opportunity, maybe only one opportunity.
Yeah, we have one show left. It is on Saturday, the 4th of November at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and you can come see that if you would like. You can find tickets if you're close enough to come see us. If you go to the Twin Cities Horror Festival website, you can purchase tickets online. And as I've tried to remember to mention, if you're going to go see any shows, pick up a multi-pack, see a bunch of shows. Whatever day you're going to be here, just plan on spending the day here. It's a great time. Everyone's doing something a little different. They're all tackling horror in a different way. You'll find something you love no matter what you go see. So thank you for joining me, Duck. And thank you for putting me on your show, by the way, full disclosure.
Thank you for that as well.
That's awesome. But on that note, I'm going to go home and go to bed. I'm so tired. As we all are at this point. So thanks, Duck. Thanks, Megan, for staying there silently, looking awkward and hating that I'm mentioning you right now.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Woo-hoo.